This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
This is the 2B2 Podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome!
I'd make him go blind if that happened. Yeah, of course I did that. Man, I gotta ask you a question.
Okay.
During the summertime, is there anything better than a nice patio with some tacos and a nice cold beer?
I can't think of anything that sounds really nice right now.
I know, right? Like, I'm not one to go, like, do a whole lot of stuff outside, but man, I will say that is one thing that's just awful nice. It's like, where did the term street tacos come from?
I don't know. I think it's because the style that we call street tacos up here are ones that, when you're walking down the street in like Mexico City, that's what the ones you'd get.
Yeah.
That's the style.
See, I've always just called those just tacos and like,
oh, yeah.
And then like I guess what you would get at like Taco Bell with like the hard shell and stuff like that. To me, I've always called those like hard tacos. You have the hard taco and the soft taco or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first time I had them was with my wife. And let's just get into this since this goes to a memory of me on Friday. My wife and I both woke up to a text from her sister that said Anthony Bourdain, WTF.
Oh, man.
And that hit me hard because my wife and I got together. He started doing I discovered Anthony Bourdain in like 2005, 2006 when he started doing that show, No Reservations.
Yeah.
He'd written a book before then that kind of blew up the behind the scenes of what it's like in a restaurant. Got notoriety. Cooking Channel started a show. But I didn't find him until like 2005. And I was like, whoa, this guy, he became my instant. And my wife was like hesitant to tell me because I didn't look at my phone.
Yeah.
She's like, she just come here. And she gave me a hug and was like, oh God, is what happened? Willie Nelson died or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm ready for that. I don't want it to happen for another 50 years, Willie.
Yeah. Right.
But,
so don't
but
do
it. I'm prepared for that.
Yeah.
The guy, like, I used to joke about him being my hero. I used to say, even since I first discovered his show and his books that I've read, I used to tell my wife, I want to be him when I grow up.
Who's that? Anthony Bourdain. Yeah.
I want to be this guy because everything from his swagger to his attitude, from his, I don't care what you think about me, from the way he had empathy and he showed the world is the way I see it.
Yeah.
He had the same point of view as like everybody in the world's just people.
Yeah.
Why can't we get
this right?
Should
all be looking out for one another instead of every man for himself.
And he would go into, and he was snarky. Yes.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a troll.
What was that punk rock attitude that he had?
Well, he did not like the elite.
Yeah.
He was more likely to heap high praise on some lady literally working in a shack in an alley on the street. He's literally more likely to give high praise to her cooking.
Yeah.
And mean it.
Yeah.
Because that's what I learned from him. He opened my eyes to, well, take a chance on different kinds of food, the simple kinds of food like this. And he praised that stuff that he would like. And yeah, he would go to the elite restaurants.
Yeah, the 5-star, the 3-star Michelin restaurants.
That wasn't
or whatever.
Really him. I mean, and even he would tell you, truth be told, that you know, he got very lucky in life when he's in his mid-40s when he wrote that article.
Yeah.
Because he was never ashamed to admit that he had a huge heroin problem, huge problem with drugs and cocaine, and somehow got through that. He started writing, wrote this one article, it turned into a book, got a TV show, and things for several years just like he became just this voice that, and there's no one like him. I dare you. There's lots of shows that have tried to do the Anthony Bourdain thing.
Yeah.
None of them come close.
I've enjoyed both. Well, he's had two shows. He had the one on the Food Channel, the Food Network, I think, there for a little while.
He had one that was like 30-something episodes from Cook's Tour.
Yeah.
Then he did No Reservations.
Okay, No Reservations.
On the Travel Channel.
Yeah, okay, that's one that was.
That one was great. And basically the show he has on CNN is the same one.
Yeah, it's just a different title.
And I learned something else. When he was shopping around his show, when he was going to do it, he's like, here's the pitch. I'm going to travel the world and do what the F I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's what he did for several years.
Maybe we should pitch that, man. We'd be like, look, we want to travel. We want to eat different stuff and,
yeah, I'll eat
different stuff. give our reviews. I'm not going to go as weird as that one guy that goes around the world.
Zimmerman.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Andrew Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I always enjoyed his shows. He wasn't as big as an influence on my, I haven't read any of his books. Right. I always enjoyed, like you said, I always enjoyed his attitude and things like that, to where it's like, he had the classic, like what I like to call that punk rock attitude of, I don't give an F.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
somebody called him a rock star and he's like, no, he was no rock star.
Yeah.
He would say, I'm no rock star.
Yeah.
I'm just a punk.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually wearing a Ramones t-shirt or something like that.
That's, you know? That's kind of what he was.
Yeah.
61 years old and, you know, who knows why people do these things.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's, you know, there's gotta be something troubling going on in there. And, you know, to anybody listening is like, look, if you've got troubles and you want to talk to somebody, hit me up. I'll talk to you. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm a good ear to listen to, you know, and it doesn't hurt. It doesn't make you less of a person to reach out and ask for help. You know, it just says like, cause we all can't carry the load on our own. We all have to have somebody to speak to, somebody to talk to. So, you know, like I said, if you're feeling down and out and you want to talk, send us an email. I'll email you back with my personal email if you want to.
Yeah.
Or hit us up on Twitter. One of the two.
Call the suicide hotline. That helps. Studies show that people that call that are more likely to get through.
Yeah.
Than the people that don't. Yeah, serious stuff, downer, but, you know, what I did Friday, though, is I just went back and watched a bunch of old episodes of, Parts Unknown.
Yeah.
That's, and thought about all the good things, you know, I mourn the loss of the dude, but I'm gonna just think about what all the positive things he brought to me.
Yeah.
And how he helped tell me that, hey, you're not that weird. Somebody else kinda has similar thoughts to you, cause I don't know about you, I grew up feeling kinda like a stranger in a strange land.
Oh God, yeah.
Like the other day. Okay, this is an example.
Yeah,
I was with let's just call him an uncle of mine. It was after we went to see Solo, you and I.
Okay,
and I had to leave work the day before a little bit early. So, what'd you go see? And granted, I'm an old dude now.
Yeah,
this I've known this guy my entire life, and I went to see the new Star Wars movie, Solo. Star Wars. I never watched Star Wars. I never could get it. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. Why? And they all said something like, why would you want to go watch that or something like that? And then my dad gets in the truck. I'll call him Dad.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? And he went to see Star Wars. Star Wars? Isn't that just made up stuff? And he's like, do you like Star Wars? I'm like, yes,
yeah.
I have my entire life. I like lots of cool things that, you know, growing up, movies, movies not that are, no slap against people that like silly, goofy movies like Police Academy, but, you know, my family's cinematic highlight is Dad wanting to watch Police Academy on the weekend when we go rent it.
Every John Wayne movie ever known to man.
Yeah. Well, that is for a different group of people, that is the beginning and end. If it doesn't have John Wayne
or
Clint Eastwood in it,
it doesn't.
And, you know, I got relatives, I've known people throughout my life that say, and that's fine. That's the thing. But with Anthony Bourdain, he would talk about books that I've like, oh God, one of my favorite episodes, he went to Minnesota and he met this guy named Jim Harrison. I'm like, oh my God, no one cares about who Jim Harrison is.
Yeah.
He's a poet. He's a novelist, had a long career. People that love good writing know who he is, but he's not one of these like rock star guys that kind of.
It's not like a Neil Gaiman.
No. And I'm like, wow, he likes the things that I like.
Yeah.
And he talked about movies. I'm like, wow, I need to go check those movies out. And just the interesting point of view. But yeah, it like gave me validity that, okay, maybe I'm not that weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, and it's like, like I said, and I've said this before with you on the show, is like, I think that's the reason why I always kind of gravitated towards you whenever it came to like family gatherings and stuff, because, you know, like, we always seem to tend to like a lot of the same things. We'd watch movies that the rest of the family wouldn't wouldn't watch. And I'm not saying anything bad about John Wayne. I love John Wayne.
No, I do too. Some of my favorite movies out of him. And but his first movie is one of the best movies made that I've seen from like the 1930s.
Oh, yeah. But
Stagecoach.
I will say that, you know, I'm pretty sure we have family members that if it doesn't involve at least two horses and a six shooter, they probably won't watch it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, that's your thing. And it's just like, but you know, you and I would, we would, I was thinking of the other day, whenever they were talking about, Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood on the radio the other day.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting over at your old house and you and I both watching those. I think we watched them both like back to back. I think we watched Boys in the Hood and then watched Menace to Society like back to back. And it was like, you know, the other parts of our family that would never even been brought up that they would ever even would have watched something like that, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And it's not dealing with anything about race or anything like that. It's just not in their wheelhouse.
Right. Right.
But yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. I kind of like went off on a little.
No, that's kind of right on the avenue we were kind of going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's the point of view that I've been thinking a lot about this kind of thing that, we, as Americans, are only 4.4% of the human population living right this second. 4.4%.
Yeah.
How much can you honestly tell me about the other 95.6% of the world?
Yeah.
And no one can.
And especially those little cultures that you get to, like, the Asian areas where a lot of the world's population is, and in China and Vietnam and Indochina and God, I can't even begin to start to think of naming off all the different countries that are over there, you know, and then you have Brazil and South America. Well, you know, Brazil is in South America, but anyways.
Yeah. Like, Uruguay.
Yeah.
You know, I just watched like an episode about Uruguay and I'm like, God, I would move there. That sounds like heaven. Little tiny 3 million population.
Really?
Country between Argentina and Brazil. And, and it's just beautiful. And, I think it's not going to be beautiful for much longer because it was just on Parts Unknown, and everybody knows now that that's one of the negative things I think he did.
Yeah.
It's because he'd go to this place and they just get swarmed. Like it might be a little hole in the wall place. Next thing you know, every hipster in Western civilization is visiting this little hole in the wall.
2 years later, there's a 5-star hotel there and, 3-star Michelin restaurant and all like that good stuff going up. And but that's not necessarily bad. You know, granted, all the hipsters are flocking to it, like what you said, but it also does great things for the economy also. So he could be just spreading the wealth a little bit.
No, you're right. Yeah, he is. He did. But yeah, so that was the highlight of my weekend. Went yesterday to my niece's graduation, 18.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. And I was texting y'all yesterday and I forgot that you had that. And then I will say you lucked out, man. You lucked out getting to go watch it on the TV instead of having to go to the actual ceremony.
Yeah. It was me, my wife, and our daughters, and we thought Delilah, the 9-year-old, little learning disability, is blind. We thought we'd have to like be keeping her entertained, doing other stuff, finding stuff for her to do. Cause you know, we wouldn't think sitting and listening to a graduation would be something that she'd want to do. You know, it just doesn't seem very entertaining to her.
Yeah.
Oh no. She did not want to do anything else. She wanted to sit on the couch next to me and Mama and listen to them read off 1,500 names. And she did. She sat there for the entire thing until we got to McKenna's name.
Yeah.
And everybody, then she got to clap and she knew that was coming. It was cool.
I didn't even dawn on me until like, I know I sent you a text and I was like, dude, you know, can you change the channel after she walks? And then I realized that, oh wait, her last name starts with the letter that's way down there on the list.
We went through like almost pretty much 3/4.
I wouldn't doubt it.
4/5 of all the names where we got to her.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh damn. But yeah, my weekend hasn't been much. I went to a G.I. Joe show yesterday. It was a G.I. Joe / action figure show.
Oh, thank you. Mentioned this a while back. Where was that?
It was in Grapevine, man. And it was cool. It was great. It reminded me of the old school, like Dallas Comic Con way back in the day. And a few people would know what whenever I say way back in the day, whenever the Dallas Comic Con, they had it over at the Richardson Civic Center, and it was $5 to get in. This show was $8 to get in. It was Saturday and Sunday only. So, and it was just basically just you walk into a big dealer room, and they did have like a few things going on. There was like a cosplay group there that was doing the G.I. Joe costumes, which were freaking awesome. And I wish I would have gotten one of their cards to call them out to give them a little bit of, you know, public recognition. Yeah. Because their costumes were great. They had a little,
Were there snake eyes?
I didn't see a snake eyes, but they had a doc and a baroness. There's always one chick dressed up as a baroness. I love the
story about how Snake Eyes got created as a character.
Oh, I know it, right?
On that
Toys That Made Us.
Yeah,
that show was great. Have you seen the new episodes?
I have not had a chance to, no.
Yeah, you should check out those new episodes. But I did pick up one thing, and I totally went down a bad road of buying G.I. Joe stuff. Because I do love G.I. Joe. Me and Steven, we played a lot with G.I. Joe back in the day, because I'll hand that over to you. You know, when we were kids, we had Star Wars to begin with. And then, mid 80s, somewhere after, I'd say around 84, I guess, is when G.I. Joe stuff started coming out again. And they were the 3¾-inch figures. And they went perfectly with our Star Wars.
Yeah. And this design.
Yeah.
Of this. I want to call it a helicopter, but it's not.
It's the G.I. Joe Skyhawk, and it's like a
hovercraft.
Yeah, it's basically kind of like a helicopter shape. Just search G.I. Joe Skyhawk on the internet, and you guys can see an image of it. But it's basically like a helicopter with jet engines. So there's no rotors or anything like that, and it's the jet engine swivels so that way it can do vertical takeoff and landing.
Like
and
the old, what was that plane? The actual military Hawker Harrier.
Oh yeah,
the plane to take off like this, and then the jet swivel.
The Harrier jump jet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's the Hawker is the manufacturer and then the Harrier was it. But this was one of my favorite toys whenever I was a kid. I was always a big fan of flying toys or whatever. And this dude, he was small and compact and he was cheap. I think I paid like $5, maybe $6 whenever I was a kid, whenever I got this. And I picked this up. It was $10 yesterday at the show. So I couldn't pick it. I couldn't pass it up, man. It's complete. It's got all the missiles and all like that good stuff.
Well, just the design of it looks just perfect for.
Oh yeah,
it would perfectly go into any Star Wars imaginary fantasy game that you were playing in your head.
Oh God, yeah, it
would fit. Because look on the shelf of the speeders behind above you.
It
goes right with those
exactly. But you know, like I said, it was $10 yesterday at the show, and I didn't really want to buy G.I. Joe. I went actually looking for some Star Wars stuff, and I bought some weapons, which is ridiculous, but they're reproduction weapons. Well, one's reproduction, and I found out that the other one was the actual, which I kind of worked out. Yeah. I won't say what it is. You got a
good deal.
Yeah, one, the reproduction that I bought was a Leia blaster, and any of the collectors out there will know exactly what I'm talking about whenever I say the Leia blaster is stupid expensive trying to buy it. We're talking, you can get the figure for about $30-$40, but then the blaster is going to cost you about $60-$80.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
because everybody lost them.
Yeah, everybody lost them. And Kenner back in the day did this thing that was called Kenner Cares. And you could actually write Kenner and be like, I lost the blaster for my Han Solo or my Princess Leia or whatever. And Kenner would actually mail you a new blaster in the mail to go with your figure.
Wow.
Yeah, which was cool. And apparently, you know, people from time to time find blasters and blah, blah, blah. They'll come across big lots of them. But so my Bespin Leia finally has a blaster. I've been trying to go like non-reproduction on any of them. But it's kind of, it works. It completed the figure. I know it's a reproduction. It's not ever getting sold while I'm alive. So I'm not going to worry about it unless I'm just on super, super, super duper hard times. And then
now, can you tell
the difference?
If somebody wanted to trick you with this piece you just bought and say this.
Oh, yeah. Grab the Leia back there on the shelf right there behind you. The white one. Yeah. There you go. And then just take a gander at her blaster and this blaster. See how that one's kind of dull?
Yeah.
And this one's kind of shiny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just the type of plastics. And you can also do a float test on them also.
Oh, really?
The vintage figure. Density. Yeah, the vintage figures, the actual weapons from the vintage figures will float in water, whereas the reproductions usually sink. Now, guys that are sneaky and have come, they figured out ways around that, of course. So that's not always the way to tell. Sometimes with like the lightsabers will be stamped with a little letter. Mm-hmm. I think it's like A, C, and D. I could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure on that. So there's things that you can do to look for to find out whether or not if they're reproductions or if they're, and the reproductions look, they look decent, but you can tell that they're reproductions. They're a heck of a lot newer because the old ones, the vintage ones, they've, like I said, just between the two, you can tell that blaster right there is not as old as that one down there. You can tell that one's at least a 40-year-old piece of plastic.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, you know, there's different ways and different things. And the only one that doesn't pass the float test is, well, there's a few, but I know that the Gamorrean guard, the axe for the Gamorrean guard back in the day wouldn't float. Well, I won't say back in the day, still doesn't float. So you can't do a float test on a Gamorrean guard axe.
Okay.
But one other thing that I did get while I was out there was this dude, and he was another one of my favorites when I was a kid. I wanted to get a G.I. Joe figure to go in my G.I. Joe Skyhawk, but this guy is a Cobra. He is the Cobra Saboteur. I can't remember what his code name was, but this dude right here, again, they're my two favorites. This dude right here was my absolute favorite as a kid. Watch out. He's got a little piece on his backpack. Oh. It's on right now, but it'll fall off. It doesn't seal on there very well.
Well, I don't want to be responsible for losing
it. It'll fall on the table, so it's all
details,
good. Oh, yeah, man. And whatever you think about it, it's like 1985 maybe on this dude. Made in China. I was going to look see if it had a date. I don't see a date. He was probably around 1985, 1986 is what I'm thinking. But he was one of my favorites. And if, like, he's got an old school cell phone.
yeah.
But yeah,
cutting edge.
Oh Lord, yeah,
giant brick where you had to have
the whole bag. Yeah, I remember your dad had one of those bag phones, didn't he?
Yeah.
I had this buddy.
He always had to be cutting edge on technology. He had the old K Pro computer and a brick cell phone.
That's awesome. It's kind of funny whenever you think about like laptops back then. That was that big brick that the mm-hmm. was just a giant computer that the keyboard folded up and then latched into the front of the computer. But yeah, but that was portable.
It was portable.
It was portable.
It'd give you a hernia hoisting around.
Oh yeah. I remember, I think it was like, I want to say I was like a freshman. I was in high school. I'm going to say it was either freshman or junior in high school, one of the two. And, we never had a computer because back then computers were expensive. They're still expensive, but I'm talking like a computer back then was like, what, like $1,200, $1,300. And that's just for like run of the mill freaking computer. Not like super, you know, fast speeds or anything like that. But, my grandmother bought us a computer at a garage sale. And so, like, I heard about it, and I was all excited. I was like, awesome, we're going to get a computer. This is amazing. Awesome.
And an abacus.
No. It was like an old Apple IIe or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I wish I would have held on to that because those things are like crazy collector's items now, man. Yeah. But yeah, we got it, and she brought it out to the house, and I was like, this is it? And she's like, yeah, and it's like the big floppy drive, the four and a half inch floppy drive or whatever?
Yeah, those are big.
I played some awesome games of Oregon Trail on that, though.
You played that recently at the National Museum.
Yeah, exactly.
For video games.
National Video Game Museum.
Video Game Museum. I still want to go to there.
You should go, man. It's definitely totally worth it. Totally worth it. I don't know what it's like going during the summer. I've always gone during the school time. So that way, you know, you can be safe knowing that you go on like a Tuesday and not have to run into a crowd of kids there or whatever.
Punkish, thuggish punks
running amok throughout
making you feel scared for your livelihood.
Right. Yeah. Now, I was going to do something. I was going to do the, a total horrible, horrible, horrible segue here, but I guess it kind of goes with, video games. God, I couldn't think there for a second.
Oh, video games. What were we talking about? Apple
IIe. No, it's a horrible segue here going into this, but I was going to do a celebration countdown real quick.
Oh, sweet.
I have some celebration news real quick. Nothing special, but like, you know, it's surprising to me. Let's put it that way. If my Apple ever load, I should have had this ready and go. But anyways, so Yeah. There we go. There it is. We have 10 months, 0 days, 18 hours, 18 minutes till Star Wars Celebration Chicago 2019.
Yeah.
Okay, so the celebration news that I have is anybody that is looking for 5-day passes, I'm sorry.
You're out of luck.
They're sold out. Anybody looking for Saturday passes, get them now. Because the website, as of yesterday, said almost sold out.
Really?
So I will say I was looking and had noticed something, because you can buy passes for single day passes for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, but you can't buy single day passes for Thursday. So I started thinking, maybe they're doing something to where it's like only 5-day badge holders get in on Thursday. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're calling it like a preview day, which is cool. So that means like Thursday is going to be like the day that definitely want to go on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you're looking to get passes, you might want to jump on that quick. Plus it was like, I'm going every day. Oh man. Like, cause I booked hotel. I got Tuesday, the passes went on sale. They went on sale at noon. I was home immediately at noon to get my passes. Got my passes, and then hotels went up at 1. And I jumped in the queue for hotels at about like 12:50, because a friend of mine texted me, like I was talking to her, and she texted me and she goes, oh, hey, the queue for the hotels is open. I was like, oh, well, all right. So I followed her instructions, went and got in the queue for hotels. And like, I'm sitting there trying to get hotels, and it's just like, get everything, get it like plotted out, 2 rooms, this many people, blah, blah, blah. Go to hit save and it'd be like, oh, sorry, somebody just took the last hotel room. So it's like, crap. Okay. Find a different one. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, sorry. Somebody just took that one. It's like, crap. Okay. So go to another hotel. And finally, I go to the St. Clair Hotel, and maybe somebody can like give me a little bit of info on this place. Cause the good thing is like, it's a cheap hotel, but the rooms look super tiny. There was like a stock photo.
Yeah.
On the website.
You showed me the picture and.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, there's a bed.
Yeah, there's a bed. There's a couple of beds, but it doesn't look like you have 2 foot of clearance between the wall and the end of the bed.
No, it's tiny looking.
Yeah, and
I couldn't tell if it had a bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, is there a bathroom? Yeah,
it does have a bathroom. It does have a bathroom, thank God. But I don't think that it has a closet to store your clothes. You know, even the room is so small that even the TV is on the wall, and I'm pretty sure that they have the TV on the wall because there'd be no other place to put it.
Furniture.
Yeah, exactly. So I have been on the hunt for another hotel room. I got another one. I didn't find another one. It's a little bit more pricier than what I want to pay. So I'm still on the hunt. But the way that goes is that they keep adding more and more hotels as you get closer to the convention.
Oh, I just had a great idea.
What's that?
Nick from the Nerdy Legion podcast.
Hey, we can just go stay at his house.
He lives in Chicago.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. But the cops show up at his house all the time, so I don't know if I want to get involved with that.
You think his family's kind of like the Gallaghers on Shameless?
I don't know. No, right. Just joking about the second part, but yeah, he's up there. I got an aunt and uncle that live up north of Chicago. But
oh, really?
You'd have to ride the train in every day.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to deal with that. No. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I know a lot of people in Chicago that are actually going to be staying at the hotels in and around the convention center just because
you don't want to leave.
Well, that traffic getting into downtown sucks because it is there in downtown, right there next to the lake. So it's at, I think it's McCormick Center West. Like, there's 2 buildings, I want to say. And so it's at the McCormick Center West building, I think, is where the convention is at. But right now, like I said, I'm not too worried about it. I like to get everything planned.
Yeah.
So that way I know it's like, okay, I got my passes. Okay. I got my hotel. Okay. I got my flight. All I got to do now is like worry about paying for food and whatever souvenirs and whatever crap that I want to do. So, you know, I did see one cool thing though.
What's that?
Cause I love Chicago. I've been there one time before and I got to do a few things, not everything that I wanted to do. And I did notice that whenever I was there the first time around, I went up the Willis Tower and I saw something that said something about Chicago City Pass. And so I was sitting here yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, I need to go check that out. So I went to the Chicago City Pass, searched it, Google searched it, went to the website, and they're running an awesome sale right now that it's like 5 things and it's $101, where it's usually like $211.
Yeah.
One is like a fast pass up to the top of Willis Tower. One is the entry to the Field Museum. The Field Museum alone is like, just for the basic entry into the Field Museum is like $30.
Really?
Yeah. And that's not just like any of the other special exhibits like going on there.
Now, which one is the Field Museum?
Field Museum is the one with Sue.
Okay.
The
dinosaur.
Yeah, the dinosaur. You'll get to her in one of the Dresden books.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So, the Field Museum is, you get entry to the Willis Tower, entry to the Field Museum, entry to the Museum of Science and Industry, which that is a freaking awesome place. I don't know. I think you've said that you've been there before, right?
Is that the one that has the U-boat?
Yes.
I have been to that once. That's the only museum I went to. My wife has been to Chicago once before.
Yeah.
And she said you have to go to the art museum.
Okay. That's one of the options, is the art museum. Cause like, then you have like other options. You get to choose 5.
Oh, okay.
And one of the options is like the art museum or the Museum of Science and Industry. And another one is like the Shedd Aquarium and, some Skydeck thing or whatever, which is a different building. I think the Skydeck is there's two. There's the one in the Willis Tower, and then there's the one in another building, and I can't think of the name of it. I can remember the Willis Tower because I've been to the Willis Tower. Willis Tower is also formerly known as the Sears Tower, but it's the Willis Tower.
Yeah.
The other one I want to say is the one where they actually put you where you stand up against the glass wall, and then it tilts forward. So, yeah, that would be kind of cool.
No. Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I will say, man, like, I stood in line for Willis Tower to walk out to that skybox, I think is what they call
it. Yeah.
And you get up there to it and you're like, well, I've stood in line this long. Yeah. I'm going to walk out on top of that plexiglass thing and look straight down because, like, and it's just pure will at that point in time. Yeah. You basically have to force yourself out because it is the most strange feeling in the world because everything in your body is saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But you have to tell yourself that that's, even though you can see through it, that's a solid floor.
Because you know nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there is that tiny, tiny fraction of that. Stuff happens all the time that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be that person. That's my biggest fear is I don't want to die doing something really stupid. You know, I just want to die doing something normally stupid.
You're like, is this thing at its final breaking point to where it's like, right. I know that this glass here is rated for probably like 1500, probably like 10,000 pounds or something like that. But what if it's finally to that breaking point to where it's like, it's been fracturing just a little bit hidden up and underneath the carpet or something?
Did some guy that liked to eat a Giordano's pizza every day just jump up and down for 5 minutes where I'm about to step?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just testing it.
Oh, yeah. And people are out there doing like stupid stuff on that thing, dude. They're like doing like handstands and like all sorts of crap. And I'm like, no, dude, just take your picture and move out of the way so that way other people can get out there.
I know my oldest daughter, she would not. She would not. She would not step on it.
Oh, she afraid of heights?
Yeah, she, you know, there's a mall down in Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
Where they got the glass barriers or walls.
Yeah.
She won't walk over next to it.
Really?
Because she's so, and that's just one floor up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not too bad with heights, but it's just like that situation where just something in your animal brain is telling you, you probably shouldn't do that.
No, and that's exactly it. Because like I said, everything in your brain is telling you like, you don't do this because there's nothing there. Even though you can sit there and look at it because you can see through it. You're sitting there telling yourself like, there is a hard surface there that's going to support me. But yet visually you're seeing it and you're seeing straight through it. So it's a little bit of like I said, it's sure willed of like, and I was having to drag my feet across it. And it's not like it's really wide. It might be like 3.5 feet wide. You know, so it's like, yeah, it's all just, like I said, it all just comes down to pure will whenever you force yourself out to do it, just to do it. So
crazy.
I always thought it was kind of, and he'll make a joke in one of the Dresden Files books, but I always thought it was a little bit like torturous for them to have the Shedd Aquarium right there on the shore of Lake Michigan. Like there's big windows looking out.
Now, okay, like if you go to London, you can go to where Sherlock Holmes lived.
Yeah.
He never lived there, but there is an actual Baker Street.
Yeah.
You can go there. There's a door, there's a museum next to it and all that stuff. And I think there's even places like other, like there's a place where Superman was born.
Oh, really?
Claims that here in the United States that you can go to the hometown of Superman.
Oh, so they're in Kansas or whatever?
You can do this. Now, does he ever mention, like, what street his office is on in Chicago? Because that would be neat just to see.
Right? No, it's never mentioned what building or what road his office or his apartment is. But every other thing in that book is all actual places. Real like places, Burnham, yeah. Burnham Harbor. It's kind of
funny. I'll just finish that last one. Is that, I'd like to go see that Walmart. They were attacked by the tree monster.
Right. Yeah. No kidding.
God, what a creative fight that was.
Oh, no kidding, man. Like, it's just like, does he read a book? Like, cause I know he's a big fan of D&D and stuff or role playing games.
I get that sense.
So it just kind of makes you wonder if he goes through like the monster manual or something like that and like picks out like, well, that's a cool monster. I think I'll throw that in there.
Even like at the beginning of this book and is the, I'm blanking on the name of the book I just finished. Grimm.
Summer Night.
Summer Night. Yeah. I'm thinking about the other one before that. Yeah. Summer Night. It even starts out with Billy the werewolf inviting him to come hang out and eat pizza.
Yeah.
And play
game like, night.
Basically play D&D.
Oh, yeah.
And hang out and do that. Yeah. That was, that's fun. Yeah. Some of the stuff he eats a lot of pizza in this one book. And I just trying to, it's like, well, he's not describing what kind of pizza. Is he eating?
Just very ambiguous. Just pizza. Yeah. Just pizza. Yeah. No, there is one thing that in one of the later books, or actually, I won't say one of the later books, but one of the books you're coming up to, there is a part, actually, I think that might be the next book, Deadbeat, where he has to go to the field museum and he looks for something at the field museum. And it's Sue's head, the giant Tyrannosaurus, the world's most complete Tyrannosaurus skeleton, is at the field museum.
Yeah.
And they've named her Sue. And I used to know why they named her Sue. I can't remember exactly why they named her Sue, but. I've always been infatuated with Sue anyways, just because as a kid, I loved T-Rexes.
Yeah.
And, Sue's head not only is it deformed from whenever it was turning to rock over the millions of years, but it was also too heavy for the structure to support. Like they were afraid that they were going to shatter other parts of the skeleton and stuff like that if they put that up there. So it's on a different display or whatever.
Okay.
So whenever I went to see Sue, I did check the head display and stuff like that, just because there's a thing there, and it's not a major spoiler or anything like that, but he finds a clue there at the field museum.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you actually like, I'm going to look.
Yeah. And I was like, man, that would be so awesome if somebody, and I think whenever I go to Chicago in April, because I'm going to go back to the field museum, because I didn't get to do the field museum properly. It was like a whirlwind, like tour, just real quick going through it and run through it. I think I'm going to take a manila folder and tape it up underneath the thing. And I want to do a guest book for like Dresden fans, people
you're
that
definitely going to get arrested. Somebody's going to see what's this guy saying. Somebody in security is going to be drawn there by some lady. He's taping something to the bottom of that.
Right. Yeah. Just put a guest book for like Dresden fans and be like, I checked.
Yeah. Well,
write your name.
Why not?
Write your name and where you're from. As long as you're not hurting anything, I don't see why it would matter. Idea. Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd just be neat to have it like taped underneath the display or whatever.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was like, that would just, cause I was kind of disappointed in whatever I felt. And I was like, yep, nothing there. unless it was on the other side of it. I only checked one spot.
You're going to check before you put it. Well, you should have it on both sides. Cause everybody's not going to have the nerve to check around on something.
Yeah, exactly. Much. But yeah, it'd be neat. So Chicago 2019 ready.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Is there a secondary market for those passes? Because you mentioned something.
There is.
Is there a big jump up in price when people resell them?
I don't know. The 5-day pass was $215. Mm-hmm. $215, not $250.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all, especially whenever you think about the single-day pass is $75. Mm-hmm. So if you're paying $75 for 4 days, you know, that's $300 right, or $600 right there. Sorry. No. Yeah. $300. Dude, I can't math.
Let's not.
Yeah. Right.
I'll just agree. I didn't say anything. I'll just agree with any number you throw out there. Right. Sounds right to me.
Sounds good.
It's money.
Yeah. Right.
It's too much money.
So I don't know what they go for on the secondary market. Like I've had an extra pass before the Celebration Anaheim. There's some wires crossed and stuff like that. And I wound up getting an extra pass. Mm. But I tried selling on the secondary market, but it was like days before. So nobody hit me up for it or anything like that. And I was just trying to get what I paid for it back.
And that soon close to it, it's just so hard probably to make travel arrangements.
Oh, yeah. Because it would have basically been me like meeting them in front of the, well, not only that, travel arrangements, but also getting it to them, because it would have been me like either overnighting it, which is going to cost about $30, or meeting them at the actual convention center and handing it off to them in person or whatever type thing. So, I don't really know. Like, I know that there'll be some on the secondary market. I don't know what they'll be going for.
Yeah.
The single day passes and the 5 day passes, because like I said, the Saturday passes were almost sold out yesterday. So, and I'm almost positive it wasn't until like the day of the shows where the actual single day pass is sold out. Like the Saturday pass for Orlando 2017, the Saturday pass sold out probably about like a month before. So just being a few days after they went on sale.
Yeah.
It's kind of like mind blowing that, that really like kind of like threw me for a tizzy that I couldn't believe that the 5 day passes are already sold out.
Yeah.
Let alone the Saturday passes, because like the single day passes, I want to say like the Saturday pass sold out like a couple of weeks before Orlando, and then the actual day passes sold out like, I want to say like a few days before the actual, like Thursday sold out. Well, no, because I was able to get a Thursday pass from my friend that was out there that I went, that she, I, since she was letting me use all her Disney passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, here, I'll buy you a single day pass to Celebration. So,
but it's too soon to know what's like, who's going to be there. And
that oh, kind of God, thing. Yeah.
Way too soon.
Yeah. They like to kind of keep everybody in wait and anticipation, because last year at Orlando, I was getting kind of upset because it was like a month and a half before the show and they hadn't really announced anything at all. My big favorite thing about the whole show is the artwork that you can get. And I've showed you, I've got like 2-3 poster tubes right over there behind you. That's full of artwork that I need to frame and hang up at some point in time, but it's starting to get to a limited shelf, or not shelf, but wall space now. So, but they, you know, Acme Archives does a art show there every year, and like the actual artists have to submit a print to Lucasfilm, and Lucasfilm approves the print, then they can sell it there at Celebration.
Well, speaking of Star Wars, we've been talking about between ourselves this week.
Yeah.
About Star Wars fans. And if a little bit ashamed to be associated with Star
being, oh, yeah.
Are you a Star Wars fan? Or
to love Star Wars, you gotta hate Star Wars.
Cause you gotta get grouped with this group of people that, recently, they started picking on Kelly Marie Tran,
yeah.
Rose Tico in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And I'm really, that's the kind of thing really makes me mad.
It does, man. It's first off, it's just uncalled for. If you're going to be that ignorant about something, then you should just shut yourself off, man. Shut yourself off.
She was one of my, I'll say this, she was one of my favorite characters that came out of that movie.
Yeah, because she basically embodies what the rebellion is
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, looking at, because we've been also been talking about history and stuff, looking at, it's always easier to write the military history or something focusing on the leaders, like the generals.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're going to write the military history of the rebellion and all the skirmishes and fights, yeah, you're going to focus on Luke and you're going to focus on General Leia and all the leadership people.
Yeah.
The people that win the battles, win the war. I should say people that win the war are the people with the boots on the ground that have hope and belief in whatever cause they're fighting for.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the Roses and her sister and the people in Rogue One that set it all up so that Luke could get in there and take that shot in Star Wars.
Yeah. Or Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace gets a bad rap because the thing I hear all the time is like, oh yeah, I want to watch a movie about politics and trade routes. How do you think a war starts?
Yeah.
You know, true. Like, how do you think a war starts? It is basically covering the main story of that is Anakin as a child and how he becomes into the Jedi Order or whatever.
Yeah.
But the side story, the subplot, whatever you want to call it, is about the trade routes and the politics. Yep. How does the Empire begin? How does the clone army begin? You know, that you can't just sit there and be like, oh, well, now the galaxy's at war. You know,
there's got to be a reason. And most of the time it comes down to territory and resources.
Yeah.
Because really, what else is there to fight?
World War II. Why did Japan bomb the United States in World War II?
Yeah.
It was all over oil.
Yeah. Expansion.
Yeah. You know, it's usually two of three things, or I'm sorry, two things that I can think of right off the top of my head. A, territory, B, natural resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or religion / ideology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a great book to go along with that, to feed that, is, check out Red Storm Rising by Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
That's a freaky book, dude. It'll scare the crap out of you. I didn't read it till I was in my 30s, and like, I read it and I was like, holy crap. Even still now, even though it's talking about the Soviet Union and the USSR, it's like, this is very feasible and possible.
Well, the thing that is, today. Soviet Union fell apart, but a lot of that original, Russia's still there.
Yeah.
And we know who's
the infrastructure of the
Putin, KGB. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not that far removed. Yeah. They might not have complete control over the entire region. Like, forgive me if I'm being ignorant, but I do follow the news, and it's really interesting time to live in. Let's just say.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. See, I try not to pay attention to it just because it does scare me.
Yeah.
You know? It bothers me because, like I said, like, you can read a book like Red Storm Rising, and basically, and this isn't a spoiler or whatever. It's a great book. Go check it out. In fact, go buy Audible. Sign up for Audible. Audible.com/NerdyLegion or NerdyLegion.com/Audible. Something like that. Yeah. Go by there. Download this. Make this one of your free books. It, like I said, it's freaky enough that, like, you think about it in nowadays terms. Basically, what happens is a group of terrorists go in and blow up an oil refinery in Russia, and it knocks down their oil production by a third. So they basically go and invade Reykjavik, Iceland.
Yeah.
And start a mass takeover of, like, Germany and stuff. Mm. And lining up at the border. You know, and just start rolling across, and it's
close to possible, because Poland just recently requested that we put military forces in their country.
Yeah.
Out of fear of Russia.
See, I didn't even know that. Yeah. Like, to show you how little I pay attention to the news.
The world is a scary place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I'm 40 just and can't be drafted anymore.
Well, I'm just going to go back to that Fred Armisen character from Portland.
I just give up. I don't care. I just give up.
I'm going to put my head in the sand somewhere.
Move to Portland and start making your own coffee.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee, though.
Call it Sparky Sparks.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to drink it. You can just make your own coffee and sell it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife, she's the coffee drinker, so she can do that.
Yeah. I've never been able to do coffee, man.
No,
it gives me a stomach ache, man. I don't know what it is. I tried doing it one time when I was a night cashier at Albertsons. And
same here. I did an all-nighter studying one night.
Yeah.
Because a buddy of mine said, let's stay up all night and study for this final.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how are we going to do that? He's like, we're going to drink coffee. And I'd never drank coffee. He's like, so we literally drank coffee all night.
Yeah.
I got sick as hell by morning. I think I laid down and slept for like 5 minutes, went and took the test. I'm wired. I'm just so buzzed on the caffeine that literally I sit down, take the test, and like, it's like, you had like an hour, hour and a half to take the final. Done like 15 minutes. I walked out, went back to the dorm. I've never felt so bad in my life. And I think I blame that as why I don't like coffee. I just don't do it because, wow, that was a bad experience.
Oh, yeah. And I don't care what anybody says. I know a lot of people will be like, well, 5 minutes of sleep is just kind of a teaser. It's better to just no. I've done that whole, like, you know, back in the days whenever I was doing the whole musician things, like, there was a time where we played in El Paso, and we played in Dallas the night before. We played main support for this one band. That's 11 o'clock slot. So we played main support for them. We didn't leave for El Paso till like 1 o'clock. We're pulling into El Paso at like 2 o'clock the next afternoon or whatever. So
that's a long haul. What, 800 miles, 600 miles?
It's around. I remember whenever we were leaving El Paso, and I'd had 3 hours of sleep in 48 hours, and we were leaving El Paso, and we're hours outside of El Paso, and I saw a sign that said Dallas 636 miles, and I almost started crying.
Oh god,
because it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, just actually it was later than two. It was probably like four. And it's just like, just wanted to be home. I was so tired because I not only had little sleep, but I'd also played not one, but two shows. And it's just, lots of travel time and lots of alcohol and lots of, you know, just sweat. I know I stunk so blasted bad. It was horrible.
That travel stink that you get.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're cooped up in a vehicle with a bunch of dudes.
And then, I was going to say, and then whenever you pack like 6-7 dudes into a 15 passenger van with musical gear and stuff like that, and everybody's crammed in there. Mm. And you got a pee jug because nobody wants to pull over to go to the bathroom, and you're sucking down beer Keystone Light like it's freaking water, which basically it is water. Yeah. Oh, dude. I just remember like we were pulling up, like we were at the club, and sorry, this is totally going off in the story time. We pulled up to the club, and it was this place in El Paso, and I want to say it was called Bombshells. I doubt that it's still open. But we pull up to the club, we talk to the club owner, blah, blah, blah. And he tells us, he goes, whenever you leave here, he goes, are you guys driving home tonight? And we're like, yeah, we're going to make the trek back home tonight. And he's like, okay. He goes, well, whenever you leave here, make sure that one of you is sober to drive because there's another checkpoint, border check right outside of town. And we're like, oh, okay. So the whole night we're like telling one of our roadie guys to be like, you're the DD.
Yeah.
You're driving us to the border check. After that, you can party and do whatever the hell you want to. But until we reach that point, you are the DD. You are the sober guy. And so here we are. We play the show and we're driving home and it's like, you're driving and it's just flat. It's just flat. There's nothing to see.
It's a lot of flat. I've never been to El Paso. I've been as far as Alpine,
which
is way out there.
Yeah.
Which is a bizarre thing because we drove as a, it's hot. It's warm.
Yeah, but that's a big bend, though. But
then like, next thing you know, there was a. We woke up the next morning, snow was everywhere.
Yeah.
On our, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But go ahead.
But basically, El Paso is this giant city out in the middle of nowhere that has some mountains in the background. And that's about it. But it's flat, like super freaking flat. And like you can see for miles. And so we're driving and it's about 3:30 in the morning. And I see this glow off in the distance. I was like, what is that? And it's just this big glow. We're like, oh, crap. That's the border check. And I moved my foot and I heard clink, 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 clink. Oh, I looked down and there's probably like a foot layer deep of Keystone Light cans in the bottom of the van.
That's a 9-hour drive. I just looked it up.
It's a lot longer than 9 hours. I think we did it in like 13. Yeah, it was bad.
Realistically, yeah.
But anyways, we're driving and it's like we're 15 passenger van. So we just like threw open the side doors and just started raking out, raking out mountains of freaking Keystone Light cans out of the side of this. So we didn't even slow down, dude. We just like the devil. We just started pushing them out. And so we get all these Keystone Light cans out. And I'm sure it still smelled like a brewery in that that van. But anyways, we didn't care. We're like, okay, well, at least we got the evidence out of here. Shut the doors and we're still just cruising. We finally get up to the border check and we're just like, sit still, stare forward, sit still, stare forward, act normal, act normal, act
normal. That's not acting normal, though.
Exactly. We pull up to the border check. The border patrol looks at us and just waves us on through. Didn't even stop us, nothing like that. And we're like, oh, wow.
All that panic and
all
stress
that
over
panic
nothing.
Stress for nothing.
Man, it's weird getting when you do go through a border check. Because when I went down to South Texas a couple of times earlier this year, you do get there's a border check of the border patrol.
Yeah.
Big one. I mean, everybody stops at it. And even though I knew, like one time I was with my dad and we were driving through there and everybody gets stopped. They got the dogs. They got the cameras. They know who you are pretty much by the time you get up there. Cause I think they can pull like the.
Oh yeah. Your driver's license data and all like that.
All that stuff just from like, if you're driving your vehicle, cause I saw some computers and there's all these people with computer terminals. Like I said, cameras all over taking pictures of everything. They're going through with the little mirrors under all the vehicles. They're pulling these vehicles to the side. And even though I knew that me and my 70-something-year-old dad had nothing to worry about.
He's still freaked out a little bit
clenched up, a little bit nervous. Sir, would you mind pulling over here? I'm like, oh, gosh. No, that didn't happen. We got through every time. But it is a weird feeling. Like when you're like driving down the highway and you're going the speed limit.
Even, yeah.
And you see a cop, you automatically like, oh okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I need to take my foot off the gas.
Yeah, because I don't want to get a ticket. Yeah. Weird.
I figured you would have thrown your hands up and been like, we're not coyotes. I swear.
There's nothing ingested in my belly in a balloon.
It just made me think of Shameless a couple of episodes ago. I won't even talk about it because I don't think I can talk about it on here. But you need to watch Shameless. Anybody that's listening to this needs to watch Shameless. It's great. It's horrible. Horrible. Like, horrible. Great. Yeah, horrible, but it's great. To me, it's like, I like dark humor, obviously, since that we were talking about Far Side.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But it's a great dark humor. Comedy slash drama, whatever you want to call it. To me, it's situations that are serious, but it makes me laugh. So
lots going on.
Oh God. Yeah. So many different storylines going on in that show.
Hey everybody.
Oh God. Yeah. Now that we're 56 minutes into the episode. Hey everybody.
Let's begin the show.
Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
By the way, hope you enjoyed listening to us today.
Oh God.
I totally forgot to
about 30 minutes and I thought about it. I'm like, nah, I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
Wait till the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're running at 56 minutes right now. So it's like, well, you might just have to throw in an intro for the beginning of the show.
Just let it roll.
Yeah. Just say double
it. Let it roll.
Yeah. People should know what they've downloaded. So if you really need an intro, well, they would know whose voice is what.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. I don't know that happened. Now I just kind of like ran out of stuff to talk about. I can't think of
it. Like, getting like, searched by border agents. And
yeah. Yeah. No, it's kind of funny though. It is funny in how like the reaction that police will give you. Because like I said, I drive fast.
You do.
I do. I know I do. And so it's like, by the time I see a police officer, I know that it's basically like, you're screwed now.
Yeah.
So you're either A, going to get a ticket or not going to get a ticket. So I'm not the person that like sees the cop and then slams on the brakes. I see the cop and I just take my foot off the gas. And I'm like, all right, man, like you've got me dead to rights. If you're going to give me a ticket, give me a ticket. But I usually like speed limit 60. The most I'll do is 70, you know, just because I'm not going to go overly like, well, I say that, but then again, like, If I deem a speed limit too slow for a road, like I will just like drive. I don't like really like pay attention to like speed limits all that much.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like I'm just like, okay, well, I'm just going with the rest of the flow of traffic.
Can I tell you an irresponsible move I once made?
Yeah.
When I was much younger, much younger.
Yeah. Like 2 days ago?
No. you know, the town that you and Steve went to school in, north of town on the major highway the service roads are one way.
Yeah.
But there happens to be a side road that was, we were doing a job. I think we were either fertilizing or like harvesting or something there.
Yeah.
And it was, you had an option when you pulled out of the field is either drive down a mile north.
To the crossover.
To the next crossover, or the field is right next to the crossover.
I know exactly
what you're talking about. Did was we would just pull out,
yeah,
turn left, go under the overpass, and take an immediate left. It was like literally 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I was leaving one day. I pull out, turn, and I didn't look good enough.
Oh, no.
And there's a highway patrolman coming this way. I'm going this way on a one-way. And, you know, I floored it. I made the turn. There's a railroad track running north and south there after a little bit up.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That went airborne and I never looked back. I don't know if he even bothered.
Did you honk your horn like Dukes of Hazzard?
No. It's, I was like, why am I doing this? I gotta commit because I can't turn away from it. Now I'm doing this. If he, thank God that hopefully he didn't even, just like, he just knew what was going on. It's like no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Cause that was the dumbest, most irresponsible driving thing I've ever done. And I just got chill bumps, nervous about the fact that I did that.
I don't know. There was also the going across the overpass in downtown Dallas the wrong direction.
Yeah, that was an accident. Yeah. I did this other thing willfully.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I respect the DPS. So
they know that you do. It's all good. Yeah. There's no reason to apologize for it now, Mike.
Oh, wait. Statute of limitations.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I think you're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think that's going to do it for us today, though, since we're
I think so.
Running an hour, even though we did just do the intro 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, it happens. We always said it was going to happen, and it finally did.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like one of those things of like, I always just get carried away just talking. So it is what it is.
I mean, talked about Bourdain, talked about Celebration, yeah. Star Wars Trolls briefly.
Oh, yeah.
Stop being a troll, everybody.
It's like, look, if all you're going to do is complain about it, coming from a Star Wars fan, if all you're going to do is complain about it, stop. Stop being a fan of it.
Yeah, that's my sentiment. I've run into it, like Valiant fans are the worst also. It's not what I want, therefore I'm going to bitch and moan about it until I just make everybody else sick and tired of where they don't even want to interact as a community anymore because, I'm not getting what I want. If you don't like it, just quit. I respect that. Something happened recently in one of the groups I'm in. Guy says, a new batch of books got announced. Guy said, you know what? I'm out. I'm just done. This is not what I'm into.
Yeah.
And, you know, I respect that.
Yeah.
You're just done. You're done. That's fine. I'm still going to keep on until it becomes something I don't like. And then I'm going to, like, turn my attention to something else.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing at all wrong with that. My sentiment is basically the same. Like, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. You don't have to be vocal about it. You don't have to attack people because they like it.
Right.
And
definitely don't attack the people that are in the movies.
They're not the ones that created the story.
Mark Hamill even came out that he's like, I've been living with this for 40 years.
Yeah.
And still like attack him.
Yeah.
Over stuff.
And I don't get it. I don't understand the mentality of that. If you're that upset about it, go out and write a story and then create it yourself.
Yeah.
I will have more respect for you then if you do that than just sitting there and constantly complaining about it. You can fund yourself. You can make any sort of movie. It doesn't have to be awesome special effects. If you have a good story, people are going to watch it. Throw it up on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of routes. There's all sorts of routes that you can go.
Yeah.
But you know, if all you're going to do is complain about it, then I ask you to stop, please, because I don't want to hear it.
There's a certain segment of society that enjoys it. And feel empowered. They have a voice because everybody has a voice now.
Oh yeah, but if you want to bring in race to it, then just do everybody a favor and just leave.
Yeah,
leave. If you're going to bring in race and you're going to bring in bigotry and ignorance, leave.
Yeah, that's against all the fundamentals of what Star Wars was supposedly trying to put out there.
Yeah, and it aggravates me because it gives. Look, I already get a bad rap because I can't grow hair and I have to shave my head. I'm a large man with a large beard, so people see that and they automatically associate, you know, horrible groups.
Yeah.
And I do not associate with that. I will not associate with that, and I will never condone that.
No, no.
That's just uncalled for, because whenever you break it down and whenever you take us down to what we are in essence, it's all the same.
Yep.
We all have the same color of blood. It doesn't matter what your exterior is, and that's just the most ignorant thing you can even do is judge somebody about their...
Absolutely. I mean, and if you give any credence to science, I mean, just reading the book, The Atlantis Gene, it's packed with science. I mean, they pretty much have every single person shares a gene with a guy that lived like 50,000 years ago in Africa.
Yeah.
And then we all share a gene with a woman... A female that lived even longer ago.
Oh,
so
wow.
We are all related people.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get into the whole, I almost walked into a minefield. Let's just say we are all related. We all bleed red.
Yeah.
And we all just want to get along and take care of our families and follow our passions. And anybody that enjoys making other people feel bad, I have no sympathy for them when something bad happens to them.
Oh, no. No. None whatsoever. But anyways, with that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael. Adios.
2BT signing out.
Fayo con Diaz.
Side note, if you want to go out and reach out to us and talk to us, you can email us at 2btshow@gmail.com. That's the number 2btshow@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. Same thing, except for just at the number 2btshow. That's the number 2BT show.
Go look and you can see Dave's new G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Up there now.
Do it. All right, guys. Peace, love, happiness. Be kind.
Just try it. Try it just once. It feels good.
I give up. Later, guys.
Ah! Oh, jeez.
Good Lord. What? What made me this way?
It is hot.
It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God.
Oh. Oh. Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, we got
well, I used to love her. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But that's, that, man, whatever.
I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
Dude, I like...
I don't read too well.
I don't know my words.
I just like looking at the funny
ones. Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
can get that whole alphabet thing confused. Right? No,
just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
I don't know if this is fun for anybody listening, but it's not class. Oh, my God. Gotta play to win, man.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make you moan and perspire.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp. Yeah. Burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. I don't know if like the...
Yeah, it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real. Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
And you're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah. Dude. Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Now, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
Right. By the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujamaa of the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. Don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, and Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda. Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine.
Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. This is a good guy. This is a bad guy.
Go. Dang it. Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old
because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.